Hi, welcome to episode 115 of Speaking of Mysteries. I'm Nancy Clare, and joining me for this podcast is Lori Rader Day, whose The Day I Died was just published by HarperCollins. Lori talked about the origins of The Day I Died, which, while it's her third published novel, was started as a short story about 10 years ago. While The Day I Died hibernated in the virtual drawer, Lori's first two published novels went on to win a shelf full of awards. Here's Lori Rader Day. Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. This is Nancy Clare, and I am really excited to have Lori Rader Day, whose The Day I Died has just been published. Welcome, Lori.
Thanks for having me.
At the beginning of The Day I Died, we learn the protagonist is a handwriting analyst before we even learn her name, which is Anna Winger. Was that an intentional sort of getting us off on an unsteady gait? Was that intentional?
You're giving me a lot of credit here, Nancy. I think maybe. I mean, I don't remember that being an explicit choice, but I wanted to show her right off being sort of this object of fascination with people. You know, she's living in a small town, fairly new to town, but people have sort of started to soak up the information about her and are treating her sort of warily. So that's what the first scene is mostly about.
And we know that she's running, and we're not exactly sure why. And readers, I think, have to decide if Anna is an unreliable narrator of her own story or not, and will form their own opinions as to why you built the story this way. But I'd like to hear what your reason is, because after all, you invented it.
Well, I would like to point out that all first-person narrators are unreliable because they're the ones who are telling the story. So we only get their perspective. We never get other characters' internal thoughts when you're just relying on that one character to tell you the entire story. We're all unreliable narrators, unfortunately, because we do have all have a point of view. The question is why I made her possibly an unreliable narrator. I just think that you know, characters who get to tell their own story and who might be unreliable or not are more interesting.
Well, she's definitely...
They're just more fun.
She's definitely interesting, and she has an incredibly interesting career. She's a handwriting analyst, and some of the people she encounters, the sheriff of Parks, which is the town she's moved to recently, think it's sort of a bit like voodoo, but it is a real thing. And I was curious why you decided to make Anna a handwriting expert.
You know, the handwriting came before Anna, actually, and maybe that answers your other question about why I didn't name her right away, but I went straight into her career. I was in a Master of Fine Arts program in creative writing, and I had a school break, and I needed to start a new short story from my workshop. It was hard to write during the school time because I was so busy, but I wanted to write a new story. So I went to the library and looked around for inspiration, and I found a book on handwriting. I can't remember the author's name, but it's called Sex, Lies, and Handwriting by a handwriting analyst expert. And I thought, well, I don't know anything about that. So I checked the book out of the library and was inspired to start a short story about the character who was a handwriting analyst. And that short story eventually became The Day I Died. But it took 10 years from the time I started the short story to the time that I, published the book.
Well,
so the career itself was the inspiration for the entire story.
Hold that thought, because we'll get back to that in a sec. I found, and like you said, all first persons' point of view are unreliable, but I found Anna and her chosen profession a bit of a contradiction. She's able to discover a lot from handwriting samples, for instance, those that are given to her when she's asked to help the sheriff's department track down a missing 2-year-old boy. But she goes to great lengths to keep as much of herself secret as she can, and I just found that an interesting juxtaposition.
Thank you. I think I liked that Anna was someone who liked to sort of filter everything she knew through the handwriting. She'd rather look at a piece of handwriting than, you know, talk to somebody and get to know them. She wants to get to know them through the handwriting because that's where she feels most secure.
And the search for this young boy hits home, especially since Anna is a single mother and she has a 13-year-old son named Joshua. And early in the book, in one of the lines that I found really moving, early in the book, Anna is contemplating the environment she's done her best to cultivate for her son. And she's been a worrying and overprotective mother, and she thinks to herself, I had worried most that he would never feel safe, and now that I'd made him feel too safe, I had protected him so well, he had no idea what it was to be afraid. I was the only one unnoticed, so I got to be the warden. I got to be the bad guy. And I thought this is sort of crystallizes what a lot of parents, mothers especially, feel. Letting their children go and holding them close. But in Anna's case, she has trouble finding a middle ground.
Right. Yeah, she does. She doesn't really know how to proceed with this, you know, this little boy. He's been, an infant, a toddler, someone that she's protected. But now that he's of an age where he wants freedom, she doesn't know how to give it to him because she hasn't been able to get it. Really any of it for herself.
And she's really hard on herself throughout the whole book and this particular mm-hmm. passage, but I thought she was incredibly hard on herself throughout. The other question I had was, do you consider The Day I Died domestic suspense?
You know, I don't know. I like books that are categorized that way, but I'm not sure where the these little subcategories, you don't know where they end and begin. I've been calling it psychological suspense. I think that might be what it's categorized on things like Amazon. That's what my first novel, The Black Hour, was categorized, and that seems to fit sort of just generally what I like to write. Although my second book, Little Pretty Things, was sort of a reaction. I wrote it as sort of a reaction to people not knowing what to call the Black Hour. So I thought, well, I'll just make a amateur sleuth novel to see if I can do it. So it's very, you know, amateur sleuth novel. Although some people are like, well, it's also psychological suspense. Who knows? Who knows, Nancy? Nobody knows.
I found it, since I think I spoke to Sarah Weinman about it, and she, you know, we were talking about it, and it was in the time when the first, you know, what I call the girl novels, you know, Gone Girl, mm-hmm. Girl on the Train, of that unreliable first-person narrator who had found herself in a pickle one way or another, whether it was a pickle thrust upon her or one of her own making. And it's not something new, but it was mm-hmm. interesting to have it categorized, and it sort of clicked into place. And I thought of The Day I Died as domestic suspense, and really good domestic suspense, I should add. So,
oh, thank you. Well, I like the smaller stories. I'm not really into the big, you know, conspiracy theory thrillers. So I like the smaller thriller stories. So, you know, if it fits and people like that sort of story, yeah. It's about a home life quite a bit.
And I think what was interesting about the Day I Died was Anna feels this, like she's lived one step ahead of a clear and present danger that she really doesn't share with the readers. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what the danger is. We can sort of surmise what it is from your opening, but we're not sure. I couldn't help thinking to myself, was Anna running away from or towards something? I mean, she was clearly running away from something, but other times it seemed like she was running towards something as well. And I was wondering what you thought about that.
She was definitely, she started running to be away from something. I don't think it's much of a secret, but But then I think she starts to find her own life. You know, she's left home and can't go back there, but she starts to find pieces of who she will be, like the handwriting. You know, she finds something that she's good at and that she can support herself doing. And so that becomes sort of how she, you know, she sort of circles her life around that one thing that she can do well, and also her son. I don't know that she is technically, you know, literally running towards something, but she's always trying to stay one step ahead of, you know, the home that she can't return to. And misses, of course, wants to always go home, but can't.
Right. The tale of the exile who is, mm-hmm. you know, in that way, looking for something, looking for a home, looking to see how she can build a home. So now I want to get back to what you talked about. I read in the notes that accompanied my copy that this was a book that had been resurrected after a 10-year mm-hmm. hiatus. You mentioned that it started out as a short story. But in the meantime, you wrote two full-length novels, both of which were won numerous awards. And you've done that in basically the past 3 years. So that, mm-hmm. of course, made me curious why The Day I Died wasn't your first book.
Well, it was my first book, and then it was my third. So it was the first novel I ever wrote. When I started the short story, it was just a short story. But one of my teachers at my MFA program at Roosevelt University in Chicago said, "This is not a short story, this is a novel, keep writing," which was, fine for her to say. But I had to figure out how to write a novel out of something that I thought was just a short story, and therefore done. It was finished, right? It was a long short story, but it was finished. So I picked it back up, at her behest and started writing more. The problem was I didn't know how to write a novel, so I was trying to write something that I'd read so many novels, but it doesn't necessarily mean I knew how to build one. So I wrote and wrote and wrote, and within 2 years, I did have a full draft, and then I started revising. The problem was that I didn't know if I was making it better or worse. I worked at it and worked at it, buffed at it a lot, but I couldn't make it shine. I just wasn't ready to share it with anybody, and I could tell that about my own work. So I thought, well, this might not be the first novel that gets published. So eventually I put it away and I started writing something new, and that became my first published novel, The Black Hour. And then I started and wrote and published Little Pretty Things right after that. And then at some point when I turned in Little Pretty Things to my editor, there's this moment where you have to decide, what are you writing next? And I thought, I wonder if I could fix it now. I wonder if I could return to it and make it what I hoped it would be. And I made a little deal with myself that I would try this. I would pull it out of the drawer and rewrite it. And if I liked it, if I could be proud of it, then I would send it to my agent. But if I couldn't get there, fairly quickly, I would put it away again, and that might be the end of it. It might never come out. So it was about 6 or 7 years between putting it away officially and getting it back out and writing it all over again, 10 years from, the beginning of that short story to the publication of the novel. It was a lot of work. You would think, having a whole novel to work with, revising, would make it a little bit easier of a process, but it was still challenging. But what I found when I opened up the document this time was I could tell what was wrong with it. There were things about it that were very easy for me to see now that I have the distance.
It's sort of like a clockmaking, I guess. You as you learn how to build a clock, then you can get an older clock and take it apart and see what's wrong and put it back together.
I've never built a clock, but maybe.
Well, I also liken this sort of thing to when you're working on a book or a novel or short story or anything, knowing the point at which it's ready for prime time, or you realize you really are just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's this moment of illumination. In the meantime, I was wondering, because during this arc of time, you went from having a day job to being a full-time writer. Do you think that being a full-time writer gave you sort of the mental space in order to do this job? Because you're right, it could be just as hard to take apart something you've written and put it back together as starting something new.
Well, I left my day job about a year and a half ago now, but I was working on this novel, this revision. I think it gave me the chance to really live in the story. So it was revising, but it was taking, you know, the weekends and the evenings and my lunch hours, which is how I wrote my first two novels. So it works. But there was something about this novel, rewriting it from the beginning, really having to rewrite something completely, not just, you know, tinker with, sentences here and there. So after I left my day job, I just decided, well, the next thing I have to do is to turn in, you know, this novel draft. I have to get this novel draft in shape. That's the only thing I need to worry about right now. And then I will think about looking for a new job. Or, you know, starting something new, whatever. But this is the project that is my most important project. So I just dedicated myself to, you know, every day, 10 to 12 hour days in some cases. Nothing around here got cleaned. No cooking. Very little showering. lots and lots of sitting with this draft and living this story, which really helped, I think, pull it together. Just in time for HarperCollins to come knocking and ask me, what I had available, which was lucky and also, you know, just fantastic timing. I was about 48 hours away from having it redrafted when they asked.
That is, it's lucky for you and lucky for us, the readers. It's a very different kind of book, and it's different from your previous two books. Which
I'm worried that the next one's going to be different still. I just write the stories that I write.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for that, because you write standalones, and when I've talked to a number of writers, I've talked to writers that only do one-offs, standalones like this, mm-hmm. other writers who do series, and writers that do both, and my partner in Speaking of Mysteries, Les Klinger, always likes to talk about the tyranny of the series, where the editor says, "No, I want something exactly the same as your last book, only different."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and the feeling that writers have with series, you know, the upside of it is, you know, the familiarity with the character and the time and the place. It's sort of like visiting family, you know, that you get to visit once a year and spending an intense amount of time and then putting them away. So
I love series. I love reading them, but I also really like, finding a new standalone that I don't have to worry I'm missing the six books that came before this one. I like an origin story. So if I'm reading a series, I have to make sure I'm starting with the first book, even if there are 30 of them, you know. So it's a little bit of an undertaking for me to take on a new series to read. And the reason why I wrote standalones, at least at the beginning, you know, I just wrote the story I wanted to write. But at the end of that story, when it was time to choose a new story to write, I didn't really think about starting another story with that character, even though I really liked those characters. I thought, well, their story's done. And also, remember, I was working full-time and writing during my lunch hours. I just really needed something, you know, this shiny new idea to reach for, to keep me interested and keep me coming back to the blank page. It took a lot of discipline to write in the wee hours that I had, you know, personal time. So I just needed a new, fresh story to help me get there and be interested in writing as much as I needed to.
To light the fire, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Can you tell us what you're working on now, what your next book's going to be about?
Sure. I have another book with HarperCollins for spring of 2018. It's untitled so far, but it's a story that occurs in a dark sky park in Michigan. So, and most people don't know what a dark sky park is, so I will let you know that it is a park that's been set aside with no man-made light or very little controlled man-made light so that people can visit and see the stars the way that nature intended. So it's a very dark place for a story. It needed a murder mystery.
So it was a dark and stormy night.
No storms, strangely. Yeah, I've used that before, but no storms in this one.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time and once again congratulate you on this. We should mention that The Black Hour, which was your first published novel, we should say, mm-hmm. won the 2015 Anthony Award for Best First Novel and was a finalist for Mary Higgins Clark Award. And your second novel, which was Little Pretty Things, won the Mary Higgins Clark Award. So we all have, all of your fans have high hopes for The Day I Died, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing it on lots of short lists.
Well, that would be very nice, but as you know, it's the writing. The writing's the important part.
Well, once again, thank you so much for your time and for talking to us, and I wish you a lot of luck. Did you tour with the book, or are you going to tour with the book?
I've been doing a little touring. I'm going to a few new places, including I went to Alabama in February. I'm in Texas, Austin and Houston in June, and Denver in September. So a couple of new places this year.
For all of your legion of fans to see you. Well, thank you again.
Well, and to meet new people. And
thanks again.
Thanks for having me.